April 2nd, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 29.
In the night, the whipping, howling, unforgiving winds crash into the clouds, and rain falls no matter where you turn. There is no escape, no escaping the true horror. A sudden silence, and then screaming thunder, lightning, floods, tornadoes, famine, pestilence, fire, earthquakes! Giving way to hazy afternoon sunshine. I'll be back with a 5-day forecast after this.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, from the Cultural District of Mulberry, the weekly commentary pop culture movie TV podcast. Now I'm breathing after that. Steven is not here to my left. He's missing in action, but that's okay because I have Mulberry Bill with me. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent.
Excellent. And I also have Vanessa with me. How are you doing, Vanessa?
I'm spectacular.
Well, that's great, guys. Who knows where Steven is? The last I saw him, believe it or not, was Steven and I went to a podcast meetup. Now, you may be asking, what the hell is that? That is a gathering of podcasters, people who do podcast shows, much like ourselves. I did it on a whim. It was nearby, so we went. And we had a lot of fun. It's kind of awkward at first because you don't know anybody, but people were really cool about introducing themselves and making us feel comfortable. And I met the guy, Gary Leland, who does the podcast Pickle. He's a really cool guy. Met some other podcasters. Can't wait to go again. Vanessa, you want to go to the next one? I'll bring you if you want
to
come.
Oh, I wanted to go to this one.
But I must warn you, it's mostly guys, so there you go. Maybe make a love connection. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I wanted to give a plug to a new podcast called 21 Productions. Now, this podcast is a show, it's kind of like Hollywood Saloon. They talk movies, but they talk a lot about making films. They're actually filmmakers. They've got their screenwriters, they direct and all that, and they have an educational podcast about that. And they plugged us on their last show. So I want to give them a plug. Check out the 21 Productions podcast. If you have any interest in film, I think you'll find it interesting. I did. Now, guys, I just want to... This was actually a daylight savings time weekend. We had to set an hour forward. We lost an hour of time.
Where'd it go?
Yes, but we gained an hour of sunlight.
Yes, but, you know, some people love daylight saving times, like these people.
Daylight savings time rules! It's rockin', man!
Yeah! Those people are big fans, but I'm not. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Either.
Right. Another thing about that podcast meetup that was cool is that when you meet other podcasters, you want to check their show out, they want to check yours out. So if any guys who met us that day and you're listening to the show, welcome, enjoy the show. Hey, if you don't like it, at least you tried it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Bill, what are you up to this week? What's going on in the life of Mulberry Bill?
I'm still going through items from the flood.
Did you just drop a glass?
Yes. I was so shocked
at
not having anything to say.
Now, is there anyone you guys have missed lately? You know, we had a big show last week, but before, when we don't do the show, you kind of miss people. I'm speaking of Eugene. Eugene left us a voicemail, okay? There's no being around the bush. And, Bill,
I thought we were done with Eugene.
The guy keeps calling us. And in fact, Vanessa perpetuates it on the message board saying Eugene seems like a nice guy, so it gets the guy's hopes up.
Okay, so it's Vanessa's fault that we still have to deal with Eugene.
It's just kind of cruel, Vanessa. You need to go out with him or something, so at least he'll
stop. Sure, why not?
But
you better take a taser with you.
But apparently, Bill, when you were moving into your house and stuff, you were off the show for like 4 episodes. You were busy doing stuff. But I think Eugene got his hopes up that you were gone from the show.
Oh, terrific. Thanks, Eugene.
Yeah. And let's hear what Eugene has to say about all this, if we can decipher what he's saying.
Hey, Mulberry guys. Sorry it's been so long since I called. I've been really busy. I wanted to call and tell you that, a couple things I just wanted to cover with you.
Oh, no.
I've been busy because I've been going for a new record. How many times someone could watch one movie back to back?
Is he drunk?
I think so.
Serenity, of course.
Maybe he's got allergies.
For 647 consecutive hours.
Good God.
And then my
damn DVD player broke. God damn it. Lost. There's some guy in Portugal who goes by Space Cowboy 5 that holds the damn record. So I don't know. Anyways, what the hell is Bill back for? I just spent all this damn time hoping that he would be gone. And now he's back? All this talk about a new host? There's no new host.
What is he talking
Bill's
about?
Bill's a damn new host.
I think Eugene wanted your spot.
Bill's back? Damn you to hell, Bill. Stay away. Go back to Florida or Detroit or wherever the hell you're from. I don't want your DVD picks. I'll pick my own DVD picks, thank you. Next, Bill.
Man.
Anyways,
suggestions,
I just wanted to say one more
Eugene.
Quick thing. Vanessa, my mom is working on your Aaron Gray purple spandex unitard outfit thing.
What?
With the boots. It's going to be really hot. She
pants.
Tried it on a few times, and it was awesome.
His mom tried it on?
I hope it fits. I think it will. It'll be very tight and pleasurable.
What
pleasurable?
I'll let you know when it's done on email. And maybe we can have that date. I was thinking we could go to the FanCon convention in. It's
what
coming to Mulberry. In
I think he's just making
something.
Stuff up now.
Okay.
He's
go
drunk.
Away, Bill. Go away! Go away!
His purple satin butt pants.
Okay,
that's
Eugene.
Right. His mom tried it on? Is that what he said?
Yeah, I think there. Sometimes. You want to be nice to people, not be rude, but then you give them a little leeway, and we were nice to him, and now he will never leave us alone again, basically.
Well, it's like whenever you feed a stray dog.
Right, and Vanessa, apparently you've given him some attention, so he's ready to take you out on a date. And
I know, to FanCon.
He wants to take you to the A-Team convention.
And apparently his mom is making you some Wilma Deering from Buck Rogers' purple satin jumpsuit. That his mom,
well,
I guess, tried on.
I don't think she's 6'3", so I don't think she's
6'3". I know. Well,
mom's 5'2" with osteoporosis.
Now, Bill, I'm curious. Do you think you could ever have a one-on-one talk with Eugene and just kind of set him straight? Maybe we could.
No, because it's like I'm dumbfounded whenever he calls. I can't talk when he talks. It's just.
I'm just wondering if you could just talk to him and kind of let him down gently and maybe kind of give him some reality. Maybe we could do that on a future show. You never know.
Has anybody ever looked into the fact that Eugene might have an Oedipus complex? Did he happen to kill his father? Is he married to his mother?
I don't know. I think you're giving more reason to hate you, though.
But the whole mother thing, trying on the outfit, it was pleasurable.
That is a little disturbing. At least he didn't say the outfit was made out of human flesh. That would have been a red light right there.
Well, as long as he doesn't ask Vanessa to put the lotion on the skin.
Yeah.
Put the lotion on the skin.
Now, before we move on, Bill, I don't know, and Vanessa, I don't know if you guys checked out The Office this week, but due to April Fools, they had some funny public service announcements that they played throughout Thursday night, and I thought we'd check a couple out.
You might be out with your friends on the weekend in a cool part of town, and someone offers you a beer for $9. Don't do it. $9 is way too much to pay for a beer. Just walk away.
That's words to live by there.
Just walk away.
All right. I really don't know if Steven will ever show up to the station. I haven't seen him since he was very drunk at the podcast meetup. So maybe he'll show up. Maybe he won't. Until then, let's do entertainment.
Never, ever, ever tape yourself having sex. You think you're going to erase it. You say you're going to erase it, but you're not going to erase it, and someone's going to find it. It's just the worst, worst idea you could do. Never, ever tape yourself having sex. I can't stress this enough.
That's great.
Before we get into TV shows and stuff, I want to talk about a couple of movies that have come out. But first of all, Bill, weren't you a fan of the Karen Sisko TV show?
Yeah, the one with Carla Gugino.
The show has had a lot to do with Jason Smilovic, and he's written a new movie called Lucky Number 11. I don't know if you've seen
it. I hate that title. I saw that. I've been following the movie since it, you know, they were talking about it on Ain't It Cool News. What in the hell? Who's going to go see a movie called Lucky Number 11?
Well, I might, based on the trailer.
The name 11?
Right. I might, based on the trailer, just because it looks pretty good. I mean, it looks interesting. It looks like that kind of pulpy, kind of pop culture type of movie, you know, with kind of a dark sense of humor, but it's violent. Let's check.
Well, it's got Ben Kingsley, Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman. I'm there for that. Lucy Liu, no thanks. I'll pass. But
why does she still get parts?
Let's check out the trailer. And let's wonder why she still gets parts. I know that Steven loves her.
He's in town.
He's not here to defend himself.
He knows a lot of people.
Looks like somebody hit her in the face with a shovel.
Maybe in mud.
Steven's into that.
That is how these affairs begin.
The cat's in town.
Good cat?
Who's good cat?
He shows people die.
Unfortunately, every movie like this now just looks like you think of Pulp Fiction immediately.
Who is he?
The kid and I. What I don't understand is why they always have to do that in the trailers.
Yeah.
Boss wants to see you. Who's the guy we work for?
I'm not the guy you're looking for. I don't live here.
Yeah, well, you look like the guy that lives here.
Then you don't know what the guy that lives here looks like.
What he means to say is you look like you live here.
Yeah, that's what I mean to say.
Shrimp gumbo. Shrimp.
Ah, Lucy Liu.
Well, there's this guy. Yeah.
Lucy Liu looks 20 years older than Josh Hartnett. She's a love interest.
Guy for what?
Whatever it is you want to see me about.
Do you know what I want to see you about?
No.
Then how do you know I have the wrong guy?
Then right across the street...
Sounds like a lot of double talk goes on in this movie.
Why they call him the rabbi?
Well, that's, you know, you get that in those trendy films.
Yeah.
But I'm not Nick Fisher.
And who the hell are you?
I'm Slevin.
That's not Nick Fisher.
Slevin.
I know.
We set you up.
You gotta love the silencer sound.
They'll kill me if I leave. Time's up.
Lots of rocket music.
Bow, 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 bow.
I'm a
grass
assassin.
Monkey.
I'm gonna kill that somebody.
Funky monkey.
I'm thinking of a new option.
Well, at least they're relying on that, not techno.
Lucky number 11.
Oh gosh, thank you.
I'm gonna agree with you. It is a horrible title.
Yeah.
And you know what? The title's gonna kill the movie. Nobody's gonna go see it.
They could have called it Lucky Number 7 and just fit an L in the graphics there.
God, how about if they just come up with a title that has nothing to do with Slevin or Lucky Number? It's like they think they're being clever with Lucky Number 11. It's like, oh, that's...
They
no,
should have called
not.
It
stupid.
Slevin 11 or something. Just, you know. They probably had, you know what? They probably had focus groups trying to come up with a title to this. And that's
Big
what they
gulp.
Came up with. Yeah. Now, okay, that's
Shovel Face.
That's Lucky Number 11, you guys, so see it at your own risk. I think it looks pretty good, but you never know. But another movie that came out is called Slither. And it is one of those, like, it looks like a campy horror movie in the vein of, I keep seeing that it says it's in the vein of, like, Evil Dead or Brain Dead, Dead Alive.
I wouldn't say it's either. I think they're stretching it there. It's right. More of just a...
I think it's probably more mainstream.
Great movie.
Those movies were kind of cult hits. This looks more kind of a mainstream, kind of Tremors-y kind of thing.
It is kind of Tremors-y.
And it does look disgusting, too, by the way.
it's very disgusting, and it's funny.
And it's starring Nathan Fillion.
It this past weekend.
It's got The Rook.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Captain Mal Reynolds, who Eugene loves.
And who?
Captain Mal Reynolds from Serenity.
How quickly they forget.
Yeah, Vanessa.
I didn't hear what you said.
Disappoint Eugene there.
Josh.
And it's also got Michael the Rook Rooker. But anyway, let's check out a clip of Slither.
Let her go! Y'all just take a step back now, all right?
There you go, Sugar Plum. Why are you accusing Camps for you here?
Both sides of the story.
Why are you talking like Grant?
Because I am Grant.
So this movie has zombies, right?
You swore to honor and obey.
No.
So put damn gun down.
Oh, get away from her! Get away from her! I am gonna shoot you, I swear to God!
You ain't gonna shoot me, Starla. I told you. You always needed me to protect you!
Alright, thank you, Foggy.
What it is the slugs go inside their victims, and then they kind of turn into these...
Do they lay eggs in their brain,
like
a la Night of the Creeps?
They like assimilate the bodies and accept the mind. They don't touch the mind. They just assimilate the body and kind of...
Oh, like the faculty.
Sort of, yeah.
No, so
but they turn into big, gross, sluggish things.
It's not like a Night of the Creeps ripoff at all? So.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna rip that movie off.
Hey, that Night of the Creeps is a freaking classic. How dare you?
Classic piece of crap.
What? Oh, man. Night of the Creeps is genius. It's a masterpiece.
She's throwing down, man. She's challenging you.
Yeah, she's laid down the cards.
Hi, bitch.
Well, go enjoy Bad Ronald, all right? But, Billy, you saw this in the theater, right?
Yeah, I went to the local Hillbilly Theater and saw it. Luckily, it was there.
Well, we don't do this often because we never see the movies we talk about. So let's give us a review on this. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I would have to give it 2.5 stars. Not great. Out of 4. 2.5 out of 4. Not great. Not really good. It's fun.
Rental?
It's gross. It's fun. You know what? It's a matinee.
Right. Okay. A rental. Definitely don't go see
it. I would definitely recommend it to fans of, Firefly and Serenity, only because Nathan Fillion, he's got his dry delivery is just really good. He's just classic in the way he delivers
for Eugene.
It. Yeah, so Eugene would really like it.
All right,
well,
Eugene,
pull your pants down into what?
Wait till you get home.
Yeah, don't do it in the theater.
Keep the image in your mind.
Eugene Starkiller caught today in movie theater. Well, Steven just text messaged me. Sorry, phone was on silent. Well, that's real productive there, Steven. All right, guys. Well, I am not going to go see it. I'll wait for DVD and borrow it from Steven because he buys every crap-ass movie that comes out. So let's check out what's on your TiVo.
That's a great thing.
I accidentally saw The Fugitive again on cable this weekend. That is a really good movie. It's like really, really, really good.
It is a really good movie.
It just reminds me of those old ones from the 80s, you know, with like Scott Baio. You know, drugs can really...
Yeah, they did real ones. It's like, if someone offers you drugs, go to your high school guidance counselor.
Yeah,
remember,
like
we care.
Willie Ames.
They always had really bad ones. If you have VD, seek help immediately.
AIDS, you cannot get it from a toilet seat.
Now, before we get into our TV shows that we love, there's a couple of new shows out, you guys, and I'm very excited. Can you tell?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Now, one of these exciting new shows is called Psychic at Large on the Sci-Fi Network. And you guys know how I feel about psychics, right?
Psychics!
I don't believe anyone is psychic. But, you know, my personal beliefs aside, I know this woman is not psychic. Now, what the funny thing about shows like this, like, for instance, this one, this lady has no agenda on the show. It just shows her daily life, what she does. She goes to the laundromat. People ask her about the future, that kind of thing.
What?
You know, it just shows her going through her daily life and how she deals with being a psychic.
Wow, that sounds really interesting.
Fascinating, yeah.
Let's listen to this clip here, how this...
I predict I'm going to pick up my laundry today.
Listen how she'll give people cryptic clues and how they get upset when they hear something that they don't want to hear.
Here comes a couple of our babies.
Oh my God!
You said you were a huge dog lover.
Huh? I was sitting there with all these beautiful dogs around me, and then I started picking up something on Bert's wife, Tracy.
Is there someone deceased? Is there a Mary?
Marianne.
Marianne. Is that your mom or your grandma?
That's my grandma. Grandmother.
Is there an M.I.? Michael? Is that your grandpa?
Yep.
Their spirits are with you.
Oh, I haven't thought of them in a while.
You haven't?
Their spirits are with you.
I had never met the Wards before I came to visit the rescue today. And I think Tracy was a little bit taken back when I started reading for her and immediately got the names of her grandparents.
Is there,
she gave you them.
You're not working with a detective at all, are you?
A Barnaby
My
Jones?
My wife's father is deceased.
Wait, is there a legal battle? Because
legal
of
battle. Yes,
wait
over
a
the estate.
That's what I think I'm...
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the detective.
Yeah,
it has to do with that.
I think we should tell
you. Is the lady panting or is there a dog there?
I think there's something to be said that can
help
you.
Who's her husband?
That's why I won't let go of it.
Good. Tell us.
I was getting accurate with what I was getting, but she didn't want to hear about it.
Right, real accurate. Didn't you say a detective?
I was trying to be polite, but when I get a feeling about something, I have to share it.
Oh, yeah. It's your agenda. Now, Vanessa, I'm sensing a fireman. Is there a fireman in your life?
Is there an M?
Wait a minute.
I'm
Fahrenheit 451 is my favorite book. Oh, my
God. Oh, my
God.
See, there you go right there. Now, Bill, are you near a body of water?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Now, what does the letter D mean to you?
Depeche Mode. I saw him at concert.
No, I'm talking to Bill now. I'm giving his reading. Your reading's after that.
Oh, okay.
D. I got it a lot in high school.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking. Now, I'm also thinking...
I was a subpar student.
And you don't want me talking about this, do you? I've hit a nerve. Okay, now I'll move on to Vanessa. Vanessa, what does the letter M mean to you?
I have the hots for Mike Madonna. How did you know that?
I'm psychic.
Wow. You have the spirits with you.
I'm getting my own show. Now,
the spirits with you.
The spirits are with you, my friend. A spirit horse will come for you. Now, guys, I will be checking the show out. I don't know about you guys. I'm sold.
Just a laugh.
Now, another new show. I don't know. You guys love NBC sitcoms as much as I do, like Four Kings, Will and Grace. Well, there's a new one called Teachers.
Oh, I saw a commercial of this.
Let's check it out. It's, oh my God, you guys.
Thank you, Ms. Wiggins, for
that. Are you ready to do some razzing?
I am.
You don't raise our hands to razz. Watch the masters.
Now, nobody likes testing. And in a perfect world, I wouldn't exist.
Woo! Perfect world! Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Mr. Cahill. So I guess you agree, testing sucks, but... You know what sucks even more than testing?
The
Maroon
show?
5?
Yeah. I like them.
The token black guy?
Yeah, me too.
Because when scores go up, funding goes up. And that means a better education for every student. And isn't that why we're here?
I'm here for the gym membership.
Oh, man, you guys, I just shit my pants. That was so funny.
Come on!
I'm here.
I don't get her humor.
So, check that out. Teachers on NBC.
I watched it. It was pretty horrible.
Oh, man. Now, We're not even in the realm of horrible yet, because Tori Spelling has a new sitcom called So Notorious on...
She's the bowl of acting.
On VH1. And let's check out the new Tori Spelling sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Tori Spelling.
Hi, Tori! Donna!
No one called you a drive-on. You'll need to park on the street.
But I'm in an F movie.
That guy is totally checking you out.
I think he's checking me out.
No, he's not. It's probably just another jerk who's going to ask me for a Hummer.
Ah,
T, what's the...
Huh?
He means the car.
My God.
That's appalling. I'll give him 50 grand so people don't kill him.
That one was way overpriced. He didn't even have a good body.
Oh, the gay guy?
Oh, my God.
The they always got to have a token gay friend, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
The table on the patio.
Paris.
Comic relief.
God, what is the big fascination with
I'm just trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
I know.
Everything added to her.
Well, yeah, but... And that ridiculous hair. Okay.
And how about the way she dresses that horrible dog in tacky designer clothes?
Hello?
Which I know everything about fashion because I'm gay.
Now, see, what the show is about is Tori is making fun of herself, how she's a rich, you know, girl living off her parents' dime kind of thing. Now, Bill, Blowout had another episode. And,
I forgot.
The show is genius. Now, in this episode, Jonathan decides, you know, one thing I got to tell you guys is last week's show, I kind of talked about how I said, you know, Jonathan, he isn't gay. He's not hetero. He loves himself more than anything. But after I hear this thing, it makes me think maybe he...
he loves the pink team?
I just...
Long.
Let's listen to this. I don't know what you're talking about, Vanessa. Here's a clip.
I love it. It's all for you, Ash. Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. The mouse ran down. Hickory dickory dock. Wow, man, that's heavy.
What the hell?
Spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain.
Make it stop.
And washed poor Eensy out.
Is he singing these wrong?
And dried up all the rain.
What the hell
and
is he talking about?
And the Eensy spider climbed up the spout again.
He's probably in the line of the bank.
Didn't sound quite right. I lost it halfway through, right? Eensy Weensy
spider tidal wave just
climbed up the water spout. Down
the
came the rain
trailer.
And washed poor Eensy out. Out came the sun and
daughter?
Dried up all the rain. And Eensy Weensy spider climbed
and
up the spout again.
Banging.
I love you guys.
Well,
who's
that was
greasy?
Heavy for me, man. Just to,
is that
you know,
baby?
I read it to my son, and in the booth, you know, I just kind of closed my eyes and pictured him right there in front of me, and that is
what is that?
I mean, you know,
that's great, man. Just reading that. Heavy.
That's heavy.
What is
heavy?
He? Real intense.
Is what? He not, is he Marty McFly?
Is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Man, what? That's heavy, Doc.
But he's singing the nursery rhymes wrong, and I'm wondering if they told him, you got to sing the lyrics different because you'll get sued, but sued by
or
the Brothers Grimm or something?
did he have a script with him? Is he just dyslexic?
I don't know. I just...
Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. The
sing
mouse
it, brother.
Ran down. Hickory dickory dock.
Dude, you cannot read nursery rhymes.
The mouse ran down?
Hickory dickory dock. And it's like the eensy beensy spider. It's the itsy bitsy, you jag off. What the hell's he talking about?
Who's eensy?
Eensy and beensy, the spiders? What?
Aren't they on Pac-Man?
I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about, but he started crying, and I guess it was really heavy, so.
No,
wow,
he's crying?
Crying?
I was crying after it was over, so.
I'm sure he got his ass kicked every day at school.
Now, guys,
no, he was banging.
Did you guys check out The Apprentice this week?
But of course.
The Apprentice. Now, The Apprentice was all about freestyle cruising. Not cruising for people, but going on cruises. Now, did both of you guys see The Apprentice this week?
Yes.
I did not. I'm sorry.
You missed a lot of loud talking, which is always good. Now, fortunately for you, we have some great clips, and this the task of this episode, Bill, was to create a dynamite advertisement for freestyle cruising, Norwegian cruising, which is, you know, you show people this film of what it would be like to be on this cruise, what, all the stuff you can do. And they came up with different ideas, and one guy, Dan, with, what was it, Team Gold Rush, he comes up with the idea of, hey, how about a castaway who's in rags, gets picked up by the cruise, and then they wine and dine him, and everything is fantastic, right?
Right.
What? It's a horrible concept, is what it is.
They're going, what?
What's funny is, you know, on the show, many times you see what happens is, they never show this on the show, who gets picked, why someone gets picked to be the leader, the task leader.
I think they volunteer.
Right. Well, Dan volunteers, and he immediately, you can tell he can't handle it. He's just freaking out. Here's what happens.
Okay, everybody. Let's go right now. First thing we have to do is Leslie is going to take a pad of paper. She's going to sit down with Bryce. She's going to sit down with Tard and start coming up with some basic concepts. And also Lenny. I need Charmaine to get on for...
Let's relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Basically, Dan proclaims himself the project manager. Starts screaming, this is, we need to call this person first, we need to do this first, I need you to do this, I need you to do this. And literally, he was shaking. I thought he was going to have a heart attack.
One second. Put down theater. Let's worry about scenes afterwards. Put down casino. Put down villas.
We need to relax.
Chill out for a second.
It was so hectic. I couldn't stand it. He started screaming, we have to do this, we have to do that. I'm like, who the hell are you?
What is freestyle cruising? That's what explains it.
I think Lenny's like in the Russian mob.
It means you can sit at the restaurant anytime you like.
There's no schedule. It's like a regular vacation. You go to a restaurant and you're at the restaurant.
The only Norwegian does freestyling.
Okay. We can show everything, and we can constantly be throwing up there, you know, on your own time. No schedule. Almost like a montage of like the different things you can do. And I think that we absolutely need to use the people on the ship. Gentlemen that we just met. Is everyone listening? You don't seem like you're listening.
What was funny is he directed everything, and he didn't use a single person from his team.
I know.
He did everything and wouldn't listen to them.
Standing there.
Until it came to the editing, and then he let Tarek do the editing. Tarek's idea, and we learned this from last season on The Apprentice, never do text only. Text only makes people read things, and they don't like that. Do voiceover. And he was like, no, text will be genius. And Lenny, the Russian mafia guy, is like, no, do voiceover. And he keeps telling him, but they don't. And, of course, they lose. They lose the task. And the first thing they say is, what's with all the text? And you'd think these guys would watch the previous season of The Apprentice, but I guess not.
Well, it's common sense.
The other team does this thing, and it's just like a couple bored on a regular cruise with where they, you know, you go on a vacation and they force you to do partake in things.
And it
was just, it was a very cheesy commercial they made, but it was better than the other one, is what it came down to. Okay. I think Kathleen was her name. She won, and Andrea, the redheaded girl who owns the sticker company, she's second-guessing everything she's doing.
I know. She's a control freak.
But they win, and even though Andrea's a control freak, I still am attracted to her for some reason. I don't know why. But
the anorexia.
Yeah.
Because she's an ice queen.
Well, if I was with her, I could have all the stickers I wanted. That's another thing.
That's it.
You know what? That's it right there. It has nothing to do with sex.
I want stickers. I love stickers. I got scrapbooks filled with stickers. Now, here's what happens to Dan.
I think Tarek has done an exceptionally poor job throughout. I really believe it. I think you're somebody with potential, but I think you've done a very, very terrible job. Lee, I can't tell you. I don't think Lee deserves to be in the boardroom.
Thank you, sir.
I don't believe he deserves to be in the boardroom for this task. I do think that Lenny deserves to be in the boardroom. It was his concept. He came up with the stowaway idea, whatever.
He's in the Russian mafia.
The person in distress. And when I want to go on a ship, I don't want to see a person in trouble screaming from the water. The concept was bad. The concept was Lenny. You didn't bring Lenny back to the boardroom. You should have brought him back to the boardroom. Dan, you're fired.
You're fired.
I'm loud talking.
I expected that. Thank you, sir.
And tell Lenny he doesn't have long to go. Believe me.
Ooh.
You can give him that message from me.
Mr. Trump.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Poor Dan. Jackass.
Wow.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Whoa, did they did they have a space door in the boardroom? I guess that's what that was. That's interesting.
The best part was how Dan, you know, his best friend was supposed to be Tarek, and Tarek was, before the board meetings, like, don't worry, man. You remember, nobody's your friend in there. He's trying to help him out. I'll help you along. And then he's like, who do you want to bring in? And he says, Tarek, and the look on his face.
I know, and he goes, it was the way he said, you don't have any friends in the boardroom. It's like, no, I think he meant, you don't have any friends but me in the boardroom.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's like, I'm going to bring my best friend and get his ass fired. So,
Oof, Maron, he looks terrible.
All right, I don't know if you guys watched Smallville, did you? We'll just cover it shortly. Bill, did you get to check out Smallville this week?
No, I didn't.
The sad thing is, Steven said not only did he watch Smallville, but he took notes, and he's not here. So that gives you an idea there. So,
that's terrific.
To give you an idea of what happened on Smallville is that Clark gets hypnotized by some chick, and she's going to force him to have sex with her. He breaks up with Lana, and Milton Fine is back, but he's like the T-1000. But there are multiple Milton Fines, so he's more like the T-1000 and Agent Smith in The Matrix. So we'll see what happens next week. Now, on to 24.
I'm totally confused.
What?
Sounds like I really missed a throw.
Well, after that exciting Smallville talk, I don't even know what I'm going to do with 24. Now, it's all serious, folks, but remember last week, Jack questioned that one chick, and she said that Audrey was her contact in the DOD with some kind of chip thing that gives terrorists stuff. Now, you guys remember that, right? Jack, he wants to... Jack can't believe that the love of his life, Audrey, would have something to do with this, but he wants to question her. But that chick from Homeland Security wants to inject her with some of that fire liquid stuff and question her.
Fire!
Now, what is that stuff they're injecting into their veins? What is that? Now, all that stuff that's going on, there's that guy Miles from Homeland Security who keeps getting on Chloe's nerves, which I think is hilarious. And they have this new girl working for Chloe, and she says that she charged the guy with sexual harassment at her last job. And that's what I love about 24. They have these weird little subplots that don't go anywhere, but it's just amusing. And here's a clip.
They do. It's true. They do. It's funny the way they do that.
Here's a clip of Chloe dealing with that Miles guy.
Excuse me.
Sounds like Tron.
These are partials only. Where's the rest of the data?
You're from the master control.
Matrix data could be sent unfiltered.
It's not protocol.
I thought it was
unfiltered data.
He's like, you look really tense.
Who authorized it?
I did. She did it under my authority.
I'm closer, Clarice.
I don't believe
intense
you.
Believe what you want.
That would be sloppy, O'Brien. You don't work like that.
I eat her liver with some fava beans and a nice glass of
Chianti. About my alleged sexual harassment, right?
She told you about my alleged sexual harassment.
No, you listen. There are 17 canisters of nerve gas about to be deployed somewhere in Los Angeles, and we're trying to find them. If you interrupt our work one more time, I'll file a complaint with Division.
Ooh. So what's great about this is that basically Jack talks to Audrey and all that stuff, and it turns out she slept with Walt Cummings.
No!
She had, you know, just a one-night thing. You know, she wasn't in love with the guy. She was lonely.
But, was he Cummings or Goings?
But Jack believes her. He believes that she had nothing to do with it. And they're going to torture her anyway. But the only way they can get them to stop torturing her is for Jack to go question the girl who has signs the immunity. Every season on 24, someone signs immunity.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they find some way to get out of it.
Right. And he talks to her and he's like, he basically figures out that Peter Weller told her that the safe word would be Audrey Raines, and then it would screw everything up. They find out that Audrey Raines has nothing to do with it, and cut to Bierko, who is the warlock, Julian Sands, and he's taking over a gas company. He's going to put the Centaux in a gas line. Okay, first of all, this is L.A., and it's not wintertime, and it doesn't get cold in L.A., Who's using gas stoves in Los Angeles is what I want to know.
The ghetto? I don't know.
Maybe somebody, I don't know.
And say you do use gas stoves, you also light it, so wouldn't the fire burn the gas? But,
I
you know...
what I understand.
To make a long story short, they show up and he stops Bierko, but here's what happens if you can decipher this. The whole place is exploding! Get out of there! And everyone's dead, so we'll check back next week and see if Jack survives. What do you guys think?
It's synopsis.
That sounds terrific.
No, what's funny is Jack's like, hey, I know a way to stop the gas. Why don't we blow up this place? And they're like, yeah, good idea. So he sets, like, some bombs.
And yes, please. And put C4 all over my workplace and explode it.
And everyone's leaving, and he's like, he sees the terrorist getting away. So he's like, hey, I'll chase the guy, you know, during the explosion. But the guy doesn't have the gas anymore, so is he really a threat? Just let him go.
So Warlock, get back here!
So you see at the very end, he blows up, and then all the rubble falls on top of the car. So we'll see what happens. But 24, that was a great episode of 24 that I totally sold short.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen it.
Oh! Well, you take my word for it. It was genius. And you know what else was?
Myth. Wolves are dangerous to humans. Fact. You have a better chance of being hit by a meteorite than eaten by a wolf. Except if you wake up naked in the woods.
Exactly. All right, guys, as exciting as 24 was, there was even a more exciting Lost. Now, that was a total lie. It wasn't more exciting than 24, but it sounded
nothing
good.
Is more exciting than 24.
Now, Lost, the last 10 minutes of Lost are the most exciting parts, but let's check out what happened this week on Lost.
Draw it again. A map to your balloon.
I was joking. I was making a joke.
Up and
around. That was a good joke.
Besides my balloon. Put him back in the armory.
John! Sorry.
He said he buried it, right?
Why isn't it raining?
Balloon!
What was that voice saying? I think it was saying, stand clear.
Will you be quiet? Maybe you should get Jack.
I said Jack!
This show has some of the best sound effects on TV.
What happened? These blast doors came down. The whole living area sealed off.
Did you try to pry?
Yeah, but I couldn't. Maybe if the two of us...
You want me to help you?
Yeah. The toolbox!
Come on, come on! Put it on! John, wait, don't you think
about...
Oh, what are they doing to each other?
Wait till somebody comes down.
All right.
No, we don't have time. I trusted you, Henry. Now you gotta trust me. That button has to be pushed.
Listen to me. You have to get up into the vents and enter the numbers in the computer.
Could Locke not fit there? Is that why he didn't go?
Henry, can you hear me?
Crap.
Fit where?
Henry!
In the vent?
Henry!
Uh-oh.
Oh, what was that?
Henry!
There's a black light in the hatch for some reason. Stoners.
God, righteous, man.
And then he sees this crazy map on the wall. At first, when I first saw the question mark, I thought it was some kind of riddle or something.
Is anybody here?
Yeah, we are. Hey, how's it going?
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Is this where they saw the blue light special?
Yeah.
What'd you find?
Great deals.
Wait, you don't...
Step back right now.
Saeed, it's okay.
I said get away!
Hey, all right!
I'm going to stomp a mud hole in his ass.
It was all there. Your whole story, your alibi, it was true. But still, I did not believe it to be true. So I dug up that grave. I found that there was not a woman inside, there was a man.
Uh-oh.
A man named Henry Gale.
Dum, dum, dum.
Well, okay. Now, okay, this episode of Lost, okay, do we all agree that nothing happens till the last 10 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Of interest. I got excited when I saw the map on the wall. I was like, ooh, cool. What does that
mean?
Yeah,
I was totally mappical.
Yeah, I was like, awesome. But, you know, it shows the whole thing. All I know is from Locke's flashback that he's an idiot.
Yeah, Locke really is the consummate douchebag.
His dad stole his kidney, and then he trusts him again to get this money for him.
Well, and then he loses Al Bundy's wife.
Yes.
I mean, the guy, basically, I think this story was about whether to trust Henry Gale or not. And finally, he decides to trust him. And then at the very end, it shows that he was wrong. He should not have trusted him. But the fact that he did trust him, it didn't... It
shows
helped
he's a
him.
Very trusting person.
But it did get him through. I mean, it's not like Henry Gale, this guy who's not Henry Gale, did anything to him. He actually helped him. So, all I know, it sounds like the counter goes to zero again, and then what, does he put the code in at the last minute? I don't understand what's going on.
You know
there.
What, the way... I'm not sure what it all means. Why did all this stuff go down? Why did it lock down?
When
the timer was going down, did he let it expire?
I don't know.
When he put in the code, what was with the drop that, you know, the strobe light drop of all the food?
Right, and some
it's
people
all
think...
all coinciding in some way.
And some people think what it was the drop was coming, and it tells you to stand clear of the doors, the doors seal, the drop comes down, and then it lets you back out again. Like, it automatically resets or something. I don't know. It's all speculation because you never know anything on this show. But I think it's interesting that they get air support from Dharma where they drop in new food to replenish supplies. I thought that was
interesting. Well, Dharma obviously knows people are still there.
Right.
And maybe the code is like, hey, we're still here? I don't know.
And another interesting... The map was on a blast door, and the blast door has only come down... Maybe the blast doors. Someone was trapped in there for a long time to draw that map. Is all I know.
Or maybe it tells you where the food drop is.
I don't know. It looked like some crazy guy scribbled all that down.
No, all that the map was. It was obvious. It showed the different wings because you could see the where the medical wing was.
Right.
And you could see where the main center where they were.
Right.
Was.
But it looks like a map that some guy made. It didn't look like he. You know, it didn't look. Like somebody used a machine to help them draw lines.
And then there's the big circle in the center where it just has a question mark, and you can see that all of the tunnels leading to that center part are closed off.
I have a really cool link that shows the picture blown up really big, and it has arrows pointing, and it has written down what it says. And one of the things
I kept pausing the TiVo. The only thing I noticed the most was off to the right it says evil. In
right.
a box.
But it
actually,
when it's blown up, it doesn't say evil. It's a Roman numeral. It says CVIII. Do say what, Vanessa?
107?
No, 108. CVIII, 108.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So get it? The counter goes 108, so...
Yeah.
I think they're just messing with this. But I thought it was a good episode, and next week, hopefully it's good. Or is it coming on next week, or is it the week after?
Yes, I already checked. It is a new one,
finally. Oh, cool.
2 weeks in a row.
Hey, thanks a lot, Lost people. You're actually letting us see episodes.
How nice of them.
I know.
Let's check this out.
When you're sitting around with a group of friends, just looking for a way to fit in, eating 6 saltines in under a minute may sound like a lot of fun, but it's also really dangerous. So please, eat crackers responsibly.
What?
All right, it's time to have a sit down and talk Sopranos. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Hopefully this Sopranos segment will be a little bit shorter than last week, which turned out like 30 minutes.
Well, we had to cover two episodes.
Yeah. Just so people know, like, oh no, not Sopranos again. They never shut up about this. Hey, hey, that was a double-sized edition, all right? Now, I want to say first off, Bill, that I think this has been the best episode so far.
Of the three, yes.
Yes. Mayhem. It's mayhem, but it's the way that Polly pronounces the word. It was total mayhem. Thought it was genius.
Oh, Maron.
All right, well, this episode, we still have Tony in his coma, mm-hmm. but this deals more with the outside real world than the last episode. And
yeah,
we
very limited sequences of, I guess you'd call it dream or whatever.
And I was happy to see that the episode opens up with Polly sitting in his car, and it's like, oh, good, we got us some Polly action about to happen. Because I love Polly, he cracks me up.
You can always count on Polly for a laugh or something to go completely disastrous.
Right.
All you need to do is refer back to the Pine Barrens episode.
Right, which is, I don't know, one of the best episodes, I would say, the Pine Barrens.
Easily.
Now, Vito pulls up in a car. I guess he's giving Polly a tip on some Colombians. Are they like money launderers or something?
Either drugs or money laundering.
Polly and another guy. What's that guy's,
I can't even say I've seen him that often.
I think his name is De Bartolo or something like that. They show up and, there's a nice little shootout and Polly gets kicked in the nuts. Then he stabs a guy in the chest.
Yeah, that was classic.
And he's like, don't hold me up, but just find the money. And, they find a dishwasher filled with cash.
Wrapped in aluminum foil.
Yeah, so you know he's hit a big score. And the first thing I think of is no one else is going to know about this, but people do find out about it. There's talk everywhere.
Oh, sure. If you're going to break into a money laundering and then kill, what, four Colombians?
Yeah. It was a bloodbath. When we cut to the hospital and AJ shows up and Chris and Bobby Bacala, they want to talk to him about trying to score a gun that they heard. And they're telling him, hey, you can't do that. You know, he's locked up anyway. And it shows what kind of world AJ's living in. He's totally in a fantasy
world.
Yeah, he lives in a fantasy world. And I love how Chris gives him a pat on the back. Look at you, you know, and gives him a little noogie or whatever. They don't take him seriously at all.
No, and then you can tell he's pissed off because of it. But, I mean, who can take that idiot seriously?
Right. And I guess in Tony's dream world, Costa Mesa, he goes to visit the monastery, who they think he's that Kevin Finnerty guy that cheated him out of their heating system.
Yeah, the solar heating system.
And he's starting to think, maybe I am Kevin Finnerty because I have Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know his identity, and they have no sympathy towards him at first. You know, they're kind of that's what I think is funny. They're monks, but they're like sarcastic to him.
Yeah, they're laughing at him, and the only one that takes him seriously is the old one.
There's this weird moment where Carmela runs into Dr. Melfi, and I wasn't even sure. I couldn't remember if she had ever met Dr. Melfi before, but she's like, you know, she's telling her that, hey, if you need anything, and she's like, oh, I got people to talk to. Don't worry about it or whatever, and she acts really weird and shrinks away. Well, a lot of this episode, what it was about is Silvio is in charge, and everybody in the crew is talking about who should be in charge, who's going to be obligated to get what. They all think, even though this is supposed to be about family, all they think about is themselves.
Yeah.
And Silvio,
they're trying to hold on to the money that Polly scored as long as possible.
Right.
You know, they're trying to wait and see if Tony dies, then they don't have to give any to Carmela.
And I love Silvio, he's, you know, you can tell he's kind of thinking about what would it be if I was acting boss, but he tells his wife, truthfully, I never wanted it, but just so you know, I was first asked if I wanted to, and I turned it down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this great shot as he's getting ready. He's got, like, I don't know, what is that, like a shark skin suit or something?
I don't know.
He's looking at himself in the mirror, and his wife's staring at him like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You know, it was great. And then all of a sudden, his asthma starts acting up. And there's that one guy who drives him who's Doogie Howser's best friend, Vinny. I don't care who he is in Sopranos. He's Vinny from Doogie Howser, right?
But he looks so old. You know, he's got that, like, that whole man-child thing going on where he still looks young, but he looks really old. It's really bizarre to even when he's on screen, it's just weird.
One of my favorite parts in this episode is when Silvio shows up at the hospital. What I love is he goes to the bathroom. And I don't do this in public, but he's got his coffee, he's got his newspaper, he's all ready. It's like his moment of peace. He's going to go to the stall and read the paper and drink his coffee.
That was bizarre and funny.
It's like he's got his whole little thing set up where he can relax. And all of a sudden, here comes Vito in there. And he's talking about, like, hey, did you hear about that Colombian deal? It's pretty big. A lot of money. And then all of a sudden, Polly walks in, and I love when Polly walks in, and he's talking to Vito, and all of a sudden he hears Silvio talk. He's like, what the hell? Silvio's in here too? And he pretty much tells them they both need to kick, what, it was like 20% to Carmelo, which is 200 grand, right?
Yeah. And then Polly says, oh, I'll make sure she gets the whole 80K.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, they're like, oh, whoa, hold on a second. I love it. Just they're so greedy. But what did he get? Like $2 million, right?
Yeah, it was close to that, I think.
And they each have to, and he tells them he has to split it with Vito because Vito had the
tip, yeah.
The tip, which I think that kind of sounds like crap, too, because he had to, like, shoot guys and fight his way in there. Oh,
well,
and by
he was told that nobody would be there, and then they get there and crawling with Colombians.
And I almost forgot that Paulie's also walking with a limp because he got kicked in the balls.
Yeah, with ice and a jock.
Yeah, that was a great thing that later on, cut to later on, he's slipping ice down there. Oh! So he's got to split it with Vito, so they each have $1 million, right? And then they got to give $100,000 to Carmelo.
They drag it out as long as possible.
But there's this weird-ass subplot with Christopher. Christopher is talking about he wants to make a movie. He's talking about these digital horror movies. They make millions. And, of course, Tim Daly, one of my favorite characters from Sopranos ever, because he's the biggest loser ever.
Yeah, Tim Daly and Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick
played one of the most pathetic characters when they moved in and took over his sporting goods store. That was just classic.
And it's great because Tim Daly, he's teaching, I guess, one of those stupid screenwriting classes.
Yeah, and the people look so bizarre.
Yeah, he's talking about the life of a screenwriter, and it's just all pretentious. But then Doogie Howser's buddy, Vinny, shows up with another one of Chris's henchmen. And do they hit him over the head with, like, a power book?
Yeah, they're standing off to the side, and he starts teaching a class, and they whack him over the head with a power book.
And when he's so stupid, does he not recognize him? He's like, hey, guys, want to learn about screenwriting? Come on, take a seat. And they come over, and they hit him over the head. That was great. But here's a scene where Christopher talks to Tim Daly in a van about his digital horror movie idea. It's great.
Give me that fucking fisheye. I'm offering you a way to wipe your fucking obligation. Wasn't me who told you to start gambling again.
I can't write a feature now. I just landed a staff job.
People are seeing huge profits with these digital horror movies. Douchebags who never made a film before.
That's so
douchebags.
400 grand to make, took in 100 mil worldwide.
Oh, they're hung up on Saw.
Well, I deliver this script. Are you nothing?
You hear this, dude? 100% well, he's a bad boy, huh? With that lingo. Real fucking dark character. My idea is Saw meets Godfather 2. Proven track record, both genres. Young wise
proven
guy,
track
assassin,
record.
Gets betrayed by his people. They whack him. Leave his body parts in dumpsters all around the city. Long story short, he is put back together by science, or maybe it's supernatural.
By science,
and he gets fucking payback on everyone who fucked him over, including the cunt he was engaged to. He was getting talked by his boss the night the hero was killed. We have a meeting tomorrow. We'll hear what you fleshed out before we go to script. Bing, 2:30. Don't make me come look for you.
That's a genius idea, Christopher. You're going to make millions.
Saw meets Godfather 2.
My idea, Saw.
Saw even involve a guy who's, you know, dismembered. then put back together.
What I think is funny is it's not Saw meets Godfather. It's Saw not meets Godfather 2. Specifically.
Yeah, Godfather 2.
It's genius. He's got quite an idea there. So, meanwhile, cut to Silvio, who keeps puffing on his inhaler, which my wife has asthma, and she tells me one of the things that drives her nuts in TV shows or movies when someone has asthma, you only use the inhaler like once. Or,
if you use it too much, you can't breathe anymore.
Yeah, you don't just go, okay, let me use it again. You don't use it like 20 times a day. You use it at least twice a day, like morning and night.
And sparingly if you have to, because if you use it more than that, it can like dilate your lungs. And,
so Silvio uses it like 100 times in this episode.
Every time you start hearing rasping, he's like, oh.
And I love when Bobby's like, he shows up to Silvio's at night. You're killing me with this thing. I gotta know. Well, make a decision. He's like, I'll talk. Nighttime's not a good time. I'll talk to you in the morning. So next thing they cut to, and Silvio's being brought out on a stretcher from his house, and he's saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And I love, did you notice the ambulance is getting ready to take off, and Bobby drives up and blocks the ambulance?
Yeah, blocks the ambulance.
He's like, Sylvia, I didn't hear from you. What happened?
And the ambulance driver's like, could you move your car, please?
Yeah, he blocks in the ambulance. Oh, and of course, when...
Everyone is so selfish.
I know.
Even the one that you wouldn't think, you know, Bobby, he's so, you know, he's just like a big dummy, and yet he's always looking out for himself.
Which, one thing this episode points out to all of us is that no one could run the organization. Tony's the only one who could do it.
Yeah, even in a coma, he can do it better than anyone else there.
And I would have thought Silvio could do it, but he can't handle the pressure. He can't handle all the bickering between all the guys. Nobody could handle it. Vito would be basically Phil Leotardo's tool. He would do whatever he said.
Yeah. Silvio's the guy that just sits there, gets the information from Tony, and then goes, nah, you know that Florida thing? Not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the extent of it.
Right. Oh, another great moment is when Finn shows up to see Meadow.
Oh, man.
And Vito's like, hey, Phineas Fogg, how's it going? And he goes up and he's like rubbing his arm all weird.
Yeah, it was so creepy. And he's like holding on to Finn's hand.
Like not letting
Finn
him go.
Finn has to pull it out of his other hand. It's just really bizarre.
And then Meadow shows up and she's like, he's harmless, don't worry about him. It's like, he's not harmless. Yeah,
he just wants to ass rape Finn.
So anyway, Tony in his dream world, I thought it was very interesting, he finds a family reunion invitation in the suitcase he's been carrying.
Yeah.
Which I believe now, I didn't get it till this episode, but that suitcase represents his baggage from life.
Yeah.
And it's out by the beacon, so he goes out there, and I guess it represents crossing over and he dies or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see his mother's silhouette in the doorway. They're all waiting for him. Steve Buscemi is like the valet, I guess, telling him you have to leave your baggage here. You know, it's all, you know, it was symbolism, but it was done without being like rolling your eyes kind of symbolism, I thought.
Yeah, and that's what you can always count on The Sopranos for. You get the crass humor, but you also get this tremendous amount of art.
Right.
Every episode. It's always great.
And I'll say this. I love The Sopranos. But, you know, I know that they're all pieces of shit. All the characters. They're not good people. Tony's a very bad person. Mm-hmm. But I was touched when he's thinking about going and he's scared. And then he hears his daughter saying, don't go, Daddy. I thought that was done really well.
That was with the trees. And did you notice how, like, whenever he looked back towards the trees, how green they were?
Right.
And, like, the light and all that, and it was just really, there's definitely something there. I'm not going to profess to know anything, but just the difference between the area where her voice was coming from and then the white light in the building.
Exactly.
You know, it was like he was going back towards life as opposed to white light, which I guess would be the death.
Chris and Silvio and all of them, before the whole asthma attack incident, He tries to pitch the movie to everybody else. He wants some financing to...
Yeah, this is the meeting they were talking about in the prior clip.
Right. They want some financing for their digital horror movie.
JT, I want to introduce you to Carmine Lupatazzi, my co-executive producer on the project.
I love when Carmine's around.
There are tidbits of what Chrissy's got in mind, the genre and so forth.
Just the way he JT, creates words.
I'm very hands-on. I learned that the hard way.
Oh.
I want to welcome all of you to the first meeting of possible investors on this project. Some of you know I've had 9 pictures under my subspecies.
His strumpet series.
30,000 plus DVDs in print. That being said, I usually find it helpful at this stage to include my prospective partners and get your inputs, or notes, as we call them.
JT, you're on.
Well, we've been working on a new kind of slasher film. It takes place in the world of, you know, the mafia.
It's about a wise guy with a big mouth and bigger dreams.
And bigger dreams.
Anyway,
Chris is such a douchebag.
They call him the butcher. And
no, they don't.
Why the fuck not? Need I remind
no,
you?
No, they don't.
A certain butcher out of AC?
Right. Not butcher. Go on, JT.
So,
okay,
right,
that shot down.
He's kind of outshining his boss, so the guy has him clipped, but he's still alive when they cut him up.
Oh, he's going to feel that the next day.
Right. So at the dump, his body reassembles itself, all except for a hand that got crushed. So he ties a cleaver onto the stump, and he goes out to get revenge on everyone, especially the boss, which is a pretty solid role. Right now, it's called Pork Store Killer, but I'm thinking...
Great title.
Just...
Yeah.
Cleaver.
The silence.
I'm confused. You said he's dead.
How's he evening up with anybody? He's a ghost?
As I understood, a zombie of sorts. Great title, by the way.
But if they jointed him,
the zombie
he's not
going
to end up all in the same dump.
And how's that a slasher film?
What are you talking about?
A slasher. Couple of kids naked in the lake. Certified maniac on the loose. Not a ghost.
Actually, the maniac is almost always a supernatural force. Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers from Halloween.
Get the fuck out.
He's making a point.
Michael Myers is an escaped mental patient. Jason or Freddy, different kind of movie.
Well, that's the kind we're
they're all experts.
Saw, The Ring, they made millions, and that's not even including the Godfather angle, which we got here.
What if?
The Ring? That was like a big budget movie.
That happened to be.
Maybe it means
along
the Japanese
the
version.
Oh,
then
yeah.
You would all end up in the same dump.
Yeah, wise wisdom from Vinny.
I don't know.
Ghostbusters, another fucking money machine.
I love it. Ghostbusters.
Chris is just looking for the best angle just to get his hands into the movie stuff again.
Oh, and that...
how much you want to bet Favreau shows up again this season?
Oh, that would be great. And that's what was genius is Tony wakes up and he looks like hell.
In yeah, fa- oh, he might as well still be in the coma.
And he even asks Carmel at one point. He says, Am I dead?
Yeah.
He's like, because he's in hell right now.
He looks like he's just completely out of it. He's got the chapped lips from the tubes in his mouth. And he's just slouching in that chair.
And I love Chris is there, and he's like, Tony, I got to tell you, I'm thinking about getting back in the film business. But wait. I'm going through a different angle. And you know what? You owe me. I came to you about Adriana.
You owe me.
Yeah.
If Tony was able to talk back, he would have strangled him.
And I love Tony's you looking at him. Me. Tony looks like a zombie in this, like the undead. He's just kind of staring at him. And I can't wait till the next episode when it looks like he's got his voice back.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be some major stuff going down this episode coming up.
But let's not forget, before it ends, the reason he wakes up is because Polly decides to go visit him in his room.
Yeah, he walks in and goes, oh, Maron, he looks terrible.
Yeah, just when Meadow's like, okay, you can't be negative, you gotta be very positive, just say positive things. And he's like, oh, Maron, look at him! He's like, he looks horrible. The lady's got a bucket filled with blood, and
Only one visitor in a room.
But I love Polly's talking about you know, hey, I'm not young anymore. You know, my equipment
doesn't
work.
He's going on about his nuts. He's going on about his mom. And
he's
then
talking
all of
about
a sudden,
one time he posed for
going tachycardic.
What I love, he's like talking about, you know, I posed for this poster. This photographer said I had what it took. You know, I was pretty good looking. He was half fag, but, you know, he's like, what is he talking about? And in Tony's dream world, he's trying to talk on the phone. He's like, there's someone, you know, hey, could you keep it down over there? He's banging on the wall. And it's Polly. Polly basically gives him a heart attack.
Yeah.
And
he sends him into heart failure.
And I guess that brings him out of it. But when Tony wakes up and he's okay, he goes in there and he tells him, hey, the boss is going to be okay or whatever. But you see Vito, he has that look, and all of a sudden it cuts him and he's like eating. He's just shoveling food in his mouth.
Yeah, he's machine gunning the carrots into his mouth.
Yeah, I love Paul. He shows up and he's like, we got to give him his take now. People were talking to him when he's unconscious. He probably knows he's got some money on the way. So there's this great scene where they, Carmella, this is for you from us to pay for the doctor bills. We just want to take care of you. You know, we care about you, your family. You know, they're just all, they're both very caring. And she's like, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And they get on the elevator, and their heads are hung low, very disappointed. And she turns and sees them and sees the look of disappointment on their faces. I'm wondering if that's going to have repercussions later on.
It absolutely is, because when Carmella walked in the room and set the money down, she says to Tony, I don't know how you do it. And you know she's going to say something else, or he's going to remember.
Right. Repercussions from before, where Tony says, they're your friends, and they'll always let you down, but you always have family. Well, are these his friends or are they his family?
They're his friends.
It's his crew, right? It's his friends, yeah. And they're going to let him down. And yeah. I think Chris is
going to
let him
down. We don't know where it's
going. I think Chris is going to let him down, too.
Chris is going to fall hard.
I just love these digital horror movies.
Chris is either going to wind up dead or dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's just going to end up dead.
I think it'd be interesting if every single character is killed off before this thing is over. At least all the crew. I don't know. I'm getting the feeling Vito is going to be one of the first of the crew to get whacked, but I don't know. Well, we'll find out what happens next week on The Sopranos.
Oof, Maron, he looks terrible.
Not being used to my ability.
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
All right, Raj Bhakta, the aspiring apprentice turned...
Raj Bhakta!
he was on The Apprentice a few seasons ago. He in the second season, and he wore the bow ties.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
Raj Bhakta!
He was the guy who asked the secretary out when he got fired?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, he acknowledges that he has been arrested twice on drunk driving charges.
Oh.
Bhakta, who was fired by Donald Trump during the second season of the NBC reality show, is the...
Ooh, that's not good.
...is a Republican challenging Democratic U.S. Representative Alison Schwartz for a seat representing suburban Philadelphia. Bhakta on Friday confirmed the authenticity of a June 1997 arrest report posted on the Smoking Gun website. He also disclosed that he had a second such arrest in Colorado. The 1997 report said Bhakta was arrested in Brookline, Massachusetts, after an officer stopped him for having no license plate. He agreed to undergo an alcohol education program and paid a whopping $35 fine. The second arrest, I know, he obviously learned from it because he had a second arrest when Bhakta lived in Vail, Colorado in 2004. And
yeah, that's not a very steep penalty there, is it?
No, it really isn't. But he was saying, you know, politicians need to come clean today, and I ask for forgiveness and understanding of the voters while giving them my solemn pledge that this behavior will not happen again. Well, if they need to come clean, why did you wait until it was published, you dumbass?
That was good of him to come clean with this after.
Come clean with it after. Yeah, I love how people, nobody will dig that up. I'm running for office. Yeah.
Now that I've been busted, I just wanted to say that I'm a real man for admitting I have a problem. It's like, no, you didn't admit you had a problem. Yes, I did.
All right. A study of more than 1,800 patients who underwent heart bypass surgery has failed to show that prayers specially organized for the recovery had any impact. In fact, the studies found some of the patients who knew they were being prayed for did worse than others who were only thought they might be prayed for. Though those who did the study said they could not explain why. The patients in the study at six U.S. hospitals included 604 who were actually prayed for after being told they might or might not be, another 597 patients who were not prayed for after being told they might
or
might not
be. Who sponsored this study?
It doesn't say, actually.
Someone with way too much money. And
we always have weird stories like this, and I always wonder who comes up with the studies, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But the,
we need some
more
Foggy.
Oh, Foggy did it.
The praying was done by members of three Christian groups in monasteries and elsewhere, two Catholic and one Protestant, who were given written prayers and the first name and initial of the last name of the prayer subjects. The prayers started on the eve or of the day of surgery and lasted for 2 weeks. Among the first group who were prayed for but only thought they might be, 52% had post-surgical complications.
Well, it doesn't work unless you're a good Christian and you pray.
Ah, that's what
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
So if you have someone who's not living the way of the master, it's not going to work. So that's their problem. If they would have gotten Kirk Cameron to pray for you, then
Willie Ames,
it would have had a lot better results. Don't you
think?
They
need a Bible man.
I'm not supposed to be crying. Jesus.
I love the way that guy says Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
All right. The battle over Kirk Cameron's bare breast.
Ooh. Wait, Kirk Cameron?
It's over.
Wait. The battle over Kirk Cameron's bare breast?
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, Cameron Diaz. I'm sorry. But you said
Kirk Cameron.
You did say Kirk Cameron. Yes, you did. The battle over Cameron Diaz's bare breast.
Cameron Diaz's bare breast. Okay. The,
such a dirty boy.
The star is no doubt walking on air after resounding victory in her lawsuit against a now-imprisoned photographer. Diaz's publicist, Brad Caffarelli, confirmed Friday that a Los Angeles judge has awarded Diaz statutory damages in the case, which involved the illicit sales of a topless photos and video taken of the actress more than a decade ago before she was an A-lister. In his ruling Thursday, the judge also dismissed a countersuit that the Shutterbug, John Rutter, had brought against Diaz, accusing her of fraud and breach of contract. A further ruling is expected on whether Rutter must foot Diaz's legal bill.
Diaz
sued Rutter in 2004 for unauthorized commercial use of her name and image after the photographer tried to get her to buy the photos for $3.3 million. In other words, he was blackmailing her.
Right.
She did these photos before she became famous for an artist/photographer, and he was blackmailing her, saying, "You better give me $3.3 million, or I'm going to sell them to an advertising agency in Europe for $5 million." So Rutter, in turn, sued her for $10 million, claimed she expressed interest in buying the pictures and lured him into a trap, which got him arrested.
There are so many paparazzi photos of her naked. There's movies where she's worn sheer shirts, like... There's something about Mary.
I guess what it is that she just didn't want him to win, kind of thing.
Well, he blackmailed her. I think that's the biggest part.
Right.
He tried to blackmail her.
You don't want to give in to
a blackmailer. Well, then he's an idiot.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He never got any money, I guess.
No, he got jail time.
Good.
Ha-ha.
Bastard.
Well, that's what you get for being greedy.
You blockhead.
Exactly. Blockhead.
All right. Another dull staff meeting at Naomi Campbell's. On the eve of a planned meeting with the revered Nobel Prize honoree, the supermodel, twice before accused of striking employees with telephones, was arrested and charged Thursday with the alleged attack of her housekeeper. Campbell, who's 35, was taken into custody and booked on second-degree assault. The unidentified housekeeper, a 41-year-old woman, was treated at Lenox Hill Hospital for lacerations to her head. At 8:30 a.m., according to the police...
Sounds like one hell of a party.
Yeah, the woman was struck in the back of her head by an object at Campbell's residence. The woman left the home and went to the hospital for treatment, and the hospital alerted the police to the purported assault. When asked if the offending object was the telephone, since it had been used several times before, the woman says she didn't know. It was from behind. So Campbell, wearing, of course, her sunglasses, boots, pants, and a smock, didn't resist arrest, and she's a tiny little thing, and she's not going to give two NYPD detectives any trouble. for Campbell's camp, it is the globetrotting model who was the victimized party. According to her, she's the victim. We believe this case of a retaliation because Naomi had fired her housekeeper earlier this morning. Someone from her camp said, "We are confident the courts will see it the same way." So this
that's
is not
wheels off.
In 2000, Campbell pleaded guilty to hitting a personal assistant, Georgina Galani, over the head with a telephone. And 2 years later, she was sued by an administrative assistant, Simone Craig, who claimed Campbell threw her around, threw a telephone at her, and held her captive.
That's definitely her M.O. She grabs the phone.
Yeah. In 2004 TV interview, Campbell admitted to having once been addicted to cocaine and then to a speedy drug, which was later confirmed to be
a speedy drug?
Yeah. Which a lot of models do to keep their weight down. So that's probably what
it's a speed-like drug. It's not speed, but it's a speedy drug.
That's what she called it.
Is it like Red Bull? She drinks too much Red Bull or something?
Yeah,
my cousin's a cokehead.
She probably runs a meth lab.
Now, for all
it could have been marijuana.
Marijuana is nothing like speed.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
All right, Vanessa, what else?
When Gawker.com introduces map-enhanced celebrity sightings, several A-list publicists complain. Well, George Clooney, on the other hand, got sneaky. In an email sent Wednesday by his rep to his about 15 other publicists, Clooney called on the Flax to flood Gawker's virtual tip line with bogus star encounters in an effort to make the gossip site less clickable, or as he put it, render these guys useless.
I've never even heard of this site.
So this, he basically issued a denial of service attack on a website.
No. What it was, it's Gawker.com has where a bunch of fans tell where they had a sighting of a celebrity, so people will kind of pin down where the celebrity is and figure out where they live.
Oh, okay.
So he struck back. He's having people call in bogus sightings so that nobody will know where the celebrities are, just to throw them off, because now when people click on it, they don't know if it's reliable information.
Oh, okay.
It's sad that something like this exists, that someone's that into it, like, oh my god, where's Topher Grace at right now? I gotta find out. But I do actually want to know where he is right now. Where is he?
Oh, so would I.
I want to know where Juice Newton is. Alright.
Why don't you beat his ass?
A couple of hundred conflicting sightings, and this website is worthless, Clooney wrote per the New York Post. No need to try to create laws to restrict free speech. Just make them useless. That's the fun of it. In the post Friday, Gawker responded to Clooney's subterfuge the way it responds to just about everything, with much snart. So excited
with,
the
with
site
a
said.
What? With a snart?
With much snart.
Isn't that a sneeze fart?
A snarky? Snark?
Like a laugh, a chuckle. So excited, the site said, if there's anyone to take us down, throw us down, and render us useless, it's him. Seriously, we've been fantasizing about this since ER.
All right, Vanessa, wait, stop there. Steven's here. Showed up.
All...
Hey, Steven, where the hell have you been? The show is almost over. What the hell happened?
I was just home waiting for the phone call letting me know the show was going on.
I did call you several times.
I
was waiting for you.
Where were you, Steven?
Hooter.
My phone was on silent because we were doing the show yesterday and I forgot to turn it back on.
Okay, but I mean, okay, around 5 we started, but at 5 o'clock, what were you doing at 5?
I had no clue what time it was. Honestly, I wasn't really paying attention to
it. He has no clocks in the house.
But where were you at? What were you doing at 5 o'clock?
I was online.
What were you doing online?
He was at teenybopperclub.com.
Teeny Bopper. Bill would know.
It's my ability.
Make sure you
That's
send
a real
links
site.
To me.
Well, Steven, I am glad you're here in time for Vanessa's next news story. Would you like to hear that?
Yes,
well, I'm
go
almost
ahead.
Done with the George Clooney one.
All right, we were talking about George Clooney, how he messed up this website. So
and how he's just a complete... You know, he wants to ruin all the fun stuff for everyone else. he's like the ultimate party crasher.
Yeah, because we want to know, have you ever heard of Gawker.com, Steven? That was what you were at, wasn't it? Where you find out where movie stars are every second of the day?
Yes.
Where's Topher Grace right now?
Topher Grace is in hell.
Okay, good to know.
No,
Dennis Franz?
Dennis Franz. Where's Dennis Franz
now,
right now?
That's one I really want to know.
Ain't it
I want to know about Dennis Franz, and Eugene wants to know about Aaron Gray.
Yeah. Erin Gray, she was hot back in the day.
I wonder what she looks like now.
Still hot, I'm guessing.
Like my grandma.
All right, Vanessa?
Upping the ante, Gawker offered to challenge it to its readers. DVD copies of Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12 to the first correspondent who sends a camera phone shot of Danny Ocean's portrayer, George Clooney, at work on the streets of New York since he's filming a movie in Manhattan.
Is that really much of a reward? Do you want those?
I know.
Those,
No. This is even better. This is even better.
Come on!
If you can get a picture of him giving the finger, we'll throw in a copy of Solaris. Why would anybody want that damn movie?
Wow. Nice. It goes from bad to worse.
I know.
That doesn't make sense.
Are you sure that's not a punishment for sending a picture in of him?
I think the gift should be that they don't make Ocean's 13.
Why are they doing this? Come on, Steven Soderbergh. You can come up with something else, right?
I think he just needs a paycheck to make his horrible movies. Like
struggling.
What was that movie he made recently, Bill?
Bubbles.
Bubble. With people who've never acted before, and he released it on... on
DVD
and
in the theater
and cable at the same time.
Yeah, I watched it on HDNet, and now, I wanted my time back.
Now, people say... No, let me say something. People said that's a great idea. No. What would be brave is if he did that with a big movie, not a crap-ass movie no one wants to watch. Do it with Ocean's 13, and then, you know, I'll slap you with some praise there, all right?
Yeah,
all right, Vanessa?
Oh, well.
Nobody still wants to see Ocean's 13.
Yeah, I haven't seen Ocean's 12. It's been on HBO 1,500 times. I'm not watching it, all right? All right, what you got, Vanessa?
All right, introduced in mid-March, Gawker Stalker Maps is a new twist on Gawker's old celebrity sightings. It takes a reader's star timely tip and marries it with a Google map pinpointing the location of where the star was supposedly seen. In the same Daily News column, Leslie Sloan Zelnick, publicist for the likes of Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, declared that the news section crosses a line.
Man, those people are pathetic.
If they've got nothing else to do but to sit around.
If you give a crap what Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears is doing right now, you need to get a life.
Two shitholes.
Exactly, Vanessa. Yeah. Two shitholes.
Well, Rosenfeld invoked the name of, remember, Rebecca Schaefer, the 21-year-old actress who was killed in 1989 when a stalker tracked her down to her apartment and shot her. She was on My Sister Sam.
That happened a long time ago. That kind of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's stretching it.
That happened one time in, the past 20?
I remember one time back in the day when, remember when Tiffany was popular?
Uh-huh.
A guy came to her door with a samurai sword. I was like, what the hell?
Whoa.
Sing.
You
want to
look at my sword?
I think we're alone now.
Want to see my last samurai? That's all I've got.
That was bad, Vanessa.
That's why I moved ahead.
Want to see my last samurai?
Emmy worthy.
Yes, that's it right. Is. Emmy worthy. Now, before we go into the DVD segment, Steven, explain yourself. Why were you late again? No.
You'll never live it down.
You said you had to do something at 3, and I said maybe around 5 or whatever. Could you get here by 5? But I don't understand why...
I don't remember that, honestly.
Okay.
He's doing the coke.
Steven
What's with the southern inflection Steven has today? I honestly don't remember. It's like all of a sudden he's Larry the Cable Guy.
No, it's what happens when I get really tired. The Southern comes out in me. Yeah.
Well, because of that, you're going to be punished by having to listen to this.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Oh, no.
The mouse ran up the clock.
Why are we being
punished? The clock struck 1. The mouse ran down. Hickory Dickory Dock. Wow, man, that's heavy.
Yes, it is. Now, let's get into...
I think his head is too heavy for his shoulders.
Let's get into DVDs.
Time for the jazz hands, people.
Jazz hands.
Chick-a-bow, wow, wow.
Ah, yes. DVDs. Yes, sir.
So sexy.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do you have for us this week?
She told you about my alleged sexual harassment, right?
Do what? All right, what you got in DVDs this week, Bill?
Well, I'm covering DVDs for April 4th, 2006. What do we got here? Here's a movie that was huge for me as a child. I, in fact, owned the toy of the same name, Blue Thunder.
Ooh. They had a Blue Thunder toy?
Yeah, they did. They had a Blue Thunder helicopter.
It's great.
Really good stuff.
But we got a Blue Thunder special edition.
John Badham.
I hate Badham.
Whatever happened to that guy?
He directed some bad movies.
I think the last movie he did that I remember was Bird on a Wire with Goldie Hawn and Mel Gibson.
Didn't he do Nick of Time with Walken and Johnny Depp in 95?
John Badham.
You know what? I think he directed The Jackbull, that good western.
Yeah, I think he did.
John Cusack directed that.
No, he was just in it. His dad wrote it, and he starred in it.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, Blue Thunder, it's a good movie. What kind of special?
Have they like remastered it into 5 channels and all that stuff?
Yeah, all that happy horse shit.
Is it in 5.1?
I'm not seeing that it is, but I'm sure it is. It's a special edition. They've got to do something or people will be pissed off.
Anyway, I'm dragging the show down. So what else you got, Bill?
This one's for Vanessa. It's an important film, Brokeback Mountain.
Ooh. Why is that for me?
Because I can't handle it.
Okay.
This is the ultimate chick flick. Because only a woman
I don't like
could,
chick flicks.
Only a woman could watch two men have rough sex in a pup tent.
Where boners and, go to die.
And not,
why would a woman want to see that?
Well, I'm just saying, only a woman could watch that and not get extremely uncomfortable.
You know what? Believe it or not, I want to see this movie. I just gotta
see. You know
what?
It's very well done, but
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I thought it was really horrible, but a lot of people loved it, and it made a shitload of money. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I loved the Chronicles of Narnia books as a kid, but this Andrew Adamson, the guy that directed this thing, could you have any more lack of vision? It was just such a pedestrian direction.
What did the guy do before that?
Didn't he do Shrek or some shit? I don't know.
Oh, he directed like a cartoon movie? He did an animated movie.
Yeah. But he's just Shrek or some shit.
That's gold.
He's horrible. He's just absolutely horrible.
Basically what you're saying is he had no real style or substance to his directing. Like a lot of times you'll see a movie and
The Lord of the Rings, when you watched The Lord of the Rings, you almost believed it, and it had this incredible scope. And
right, and not only that, someone's vision comes through. It feels like the movie had no vision like that.
It felt like Middle-earth was real, whereas Narnia comes across as, okay, I'm going to go through this closet, and I'm in some fantasy world. There's no real scope to it. It's like there's one scene where the children are talking with the beavers, and they say, "Don't go up there.
Jerry
That's
Mathers?
The White Witch's castle."
Jerry Mathers is in this.
Yes, talking with Jerry Mathers.
There's multiple of them too.
There's a lot of cameos.
The beavers.
Eddie
but
Haskell
anyways, they say,
up.
"Don't go up there. That's the White Witch's castle." And it's like, "Oh, that's the White Witch's castle." Yeah, it looks like it's like 150 miles away. But then a kid runs off from the beaver hut. And all of a sudden, he's at the White Witch's castle. There's no scope of
no journey.
You know,
Vanessa. Beavers.
Beavers.
No beaver.
I can't get the right word. It's just it sucks.
All right.
Okay, that's the best.
It's a kids movie, but it didn't have to be. It could have been much better, but you give it to a director like Andrew Adamson, and this is what you get. W.S. Anderson treatment of Narnia.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's someone who lacks vision, or they have their personality, their heart doesn't show up there on the screen, on the canvas. It's just some paint-by-numbers fast food restaurant crap.
Yes, exactly. Here's another one for the Double Dipper. Crash, the director's cut. And there's nothing more I wanted than a Paul Haggis director's cut of Crash.
Me neither.
I hope.
Being facetious?
Steven, you've seen Crash, right?
No.
I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
I saw it.
Vanessa, you have seen Crash, correct?
Yes, correct.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Crash was good, but it was by no means the best picture of the year. I'll just put that out there.
I didn't
and
see
Paul,
the other side.
And Paul Haggis is allegedly connected to Scientology, so maybe this director's cut has, like, Xenu in the car, and whenever the crash happens, like, thetans leave people's bodies. I don't know.
That would rock.
Yeah. Here's the last one.
You know, you joke, but that is awesome.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
If you're a fan of comedy, you'll enjoy this. It's the uncensored Patton Oswalt No Reason to Complain stand-up special that he did for Comedy Central.
Patton Oswalt's a funny
dude. He's a funny guy. But anyways, it's his stand-up routine. It's $13. It's probably funny.
But someone buy it for me. I'm not paying money for that.
I
could see him for free on King of Queens or something. Hey.
What a colossal ripoff.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs are coming out this week?
That's it.
Those
are all the notable ones.
There's no other DVDs coming out this week?
Oh, there's tons of them, but those are the most notable.
Now,
unless you want to get into like these Bible special ones. Or
Bible Man?
Bible Man.
No, I'm sorry. A-Team Season 4 is coming out.
Sweet.
Ambulance Girl starring Kathy Bates. I think that was a Lifetime movie.
Ambulance Girl.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a good time.
Now, Lucky number 11. I'm glad Steven showed up. He's contributed so much to
Hey, Steven, how you doing, buddy?
Jab that straight up your ass here. Buddy.
Hey, Steven, have you been watching The Unit new on CBS?
Yes.
What about the new Doctor Who? Anybody watching that?
No.
No, I keep
forgetting. I have it TiVo'd, but I haven't watched it.
I have it TiVo'd, too. I haven't watched it, but I'm going to check it out someday.
I have a feeling it's one of those shows that I'll go back to like a month later on my TiVo and go, what? Well, delete. I just don't. I won't watch it.
Yeah. Not enough boobs.
Well, that's cranberry.
I've got to have a proper dosage of breasts.
Yes. Exactly. You aim for the arch.
What's your proper dosage, two?
Two, preferably Zazing. Four or six.
All right, guys. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week, Bill.
As always.
People may tease you for being short, even though you're 5'9". Well, let me tell you something. 5'9 isn't short. Neither is 5'8 and 3 quarters. It's average. It's not tall. But it's not short either. It's average. Check your almanac.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
There's something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull.
I swear, he must have watched Back to the Future.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Before he recorded that episode.
It's either heavy or it's banging. So, now, hey, thanks, guys, for joining us for episode 29 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Checked us out. Yes, we are. We have a big episode 30 coming up. I hope Steven shows up on time for that. Now, if you'd like to check us out online, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you can find links to our message board and to our chat room, which we, every Friday night, we're in the chat room.
Thanks for showing up, everyone.
Steven and I chatted to each other for about 5 minutes and then logged off.
You know what was funny? Thursday night, I went into the chat room at like midnight and I was waiting for people to show up, and then I go, oh shit, it's Thursday. And then I went, you know what, I'm gonna have to go in on Friday, and then Friday I just completely forgot.
Yeah, I have to remind myself. But
you know what else is weird? It's midnight for you guys is, you know, 1 a.m. for me, so I forget about that.
What was crazy is I actually ran into Brad Pitt and talked to him about it, and here's what he said.
It's just about making mistakes, you know what I'm saying? That we make all these mistakes, and that's cool. I like that we can, that we're just not like cool guys, and you know, because there's all these like cool, like the rebel guy thing is like, who's got the most rebel guys, you know, on the show. And on the show, we get to, we just make mistakes,
bus station.
I like that.
So if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, go to 1-206-202-3491 and leave us a voicemail. Much like Vanessa, who is on a walkie-talkie right now, so we can't hear her. You know, I can't go again until I listen to this.
Hickory dickory dock.
The mouse ran off the clock. The clock struck one. The mouse ran down. Hickory dickory dock. Wow, man, that's heavy. Weensy weensy spider.
It's itsy bitsy, dumbass.
Water spout. Down came the rain and washed poor Eensy out.
Who the hell's Eensy?
Poor Eensy out.
What is he talking about?
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Is he making up his own nursery rhyme?
I think he is.
Songs.
But
is he gonna sell them at Sephora?
Hey, you got Sephora, man. It's great.
I got Sephora
or QVC.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that awful when he was on there?
I love that show though. I'm just so entertained by how bad it is.
Yeah. It's great.
I have to
really
add
good
it now.
Stuff.
Really good stuff.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. I can't wait for episode 30, our 6-hour episode 30.
So I've like. Nobody listening.
It's the marathon 30-hour.
That's right. We will start the show on Friday and end it Monday morning.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
We will talk all about Smallville and how Milton Fine is the T-1000 / Agent Smith from The Matrix. I'm excited. Hey, man, we got up to episode 30. That's pretty cool. I think we should go out with a bang. I'm going to burn down the station after we're done with the show.
And we still have people listening? That's a miracle.
Where's the activity on the message board? It just died all of a sudden.
It's almost like a high school dance. That first person to dance, somebody has to post, and then more people do or something. I mean, I post every once in a while, but no one posts on there. Not even we. You posted last week. You got to post every day, honey. All right.
I've posted and people. Don't reply.
Right.
They don't reply. Well, it's funny because it'll show that like 30 or 40 people have viewed it. But
viewed it, yeah.
I did that one post about the Star Wars parody of the Empire Brokeback trailer, mm-hmm. and no one replied, yet 42 people looked at it.
Yeah.
It's like, hello?
All right, guys. That's the show.
My idea is Saw meets Godfather 2.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Now this is podcasting.